You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC Securities Exchange has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight, as always, on a Monday, I'm speaking to Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. It's really, really dull. There's never a dull moment. There's always something going on. But today, people are almost saying, well, we've had 3 short weeks in South Africa, so therefore, yeah, we're just easing into a five-day week.
Yeah, evening, Lindsay. Yeah, it's one of those very, very quiet ones. I think a lot of, I speak from experience. A lot of my colleagues still have some of their kids are still at school. The private schools here in Joburg they're not back, I think, until the next week. Some of the government schools went back today. So a lot of people still on that holiday. And, of course, coming off, as you said, 3 weeks or 4 day weeks. So a lot of people have pushed for another week holiday. So it is quiet. And, of course, don't forget, we've got the start of the U.S. earnings season on Wednesday. So, today's one of those days we're stuck between the bookends at the moment until things get busy.
Yeah, the U.S. earnings season is actually very important because we've got the S&P at its highest level in U.S. earnings season history. In other words, as I look at my futures screen now, it's 4,113. So I wonder if people are going to say, well, it's justified by these earnings, or it is the level of the S&P isn't justified by these earnings, if you see what I mean.
I'm putting quite a bit of weighting on this earnings season now, second quarter earnings, Bruce. I think exactly what you said now. We've had a huge bounce back from the lows, not just here in South Africa, but globally. Global markets are all sitting at all-time highs. Just as of last week, most markets hitting new highs. And we are heading into, at some point now, you've got to say, okay, central bank intervention. We've had a very, very loose monetary policy for the last couple of years, not just since the pandemic started. We've had a huge sort of a push from central banks to help prop up this market as it recovered from the pandemic. Now, of course, the question is stocks are not cheap. So, yes, I think it's quite a big weighting. We've got to actually see if these lofty valuations are justified and given what the earnings be. They're looking for at least a 20% increase, 25% jump from a year earlier, which is huge. I mean, that's the biggest performance in a quarter since quite a few number of years.
But that's the fact that you're talking about that means that it's already not, that's a horrible phrase, baked into the price, but it's been discounted. I mean, when you have your meeting in the morning, are there two camps? One camp that says, okay, well, we know about this. If we're talking about it, then everybody knows about it, and it's there. 25% has been factored in. On the other hand, some people are saying, well, on the other hand, we've got trillions and trillions being pumped into the US economy, and therefore that will filter to all other economies, and therefore there's still more to come. Are there two camps in your morning meeting?
So there's two camps stuck between, I guess, the reflationary inflation trade on the one side and central bank liquidity on the other side, who are saying at some point, you know, this punch bowl is going to be taken away. So you've got the people on the one side who are in the Fed camp who are saying, you know, banks, the central banks around the world are provided an almost – You hate that expression. I hate the Goldilocks expression. They've created this Goldilocks expression environment where it's just everything's in a sweet spot. You know, we've got ultra, ultra loose monetary policy. We've got interest rate historic at our levels. I mean, you've got a head scratch for economists saying, you know, they're talking about emergency levels of interest rates. You know, we're going to, you know, we're literally fighting to get back to normal. But, you know, unemployment is 6%. It's almost full employment. You've got interest rates at zero. You've got GDP growth, according to the World Bank, going to be growing anywhere between 6 or 7%. Yet, the central banks are saying on the one side that we need to remain vigilant. But for what? You know, we are bounced back phenomenally. So you've got that's on the one side, Lindsay. And on the other side, you've got the camp of people who are saying, with all this coming, we're filling up the bath as fast as we can. At some point, it's going to overflow, and that overflow is going to be inflation. And that's what we're all looking for now as we're waiting. We have the CPI numbers out last week, PPI coming out this week, you know, give an indication, retail sales as well. So lots of data to digest, put into the big magic box and see what comes out the other side. And I do think that's going to determine where the markets go for the next few months.
Yeah, US CPI is coming out, I think, tomorrow, which is the big one when it comes to the US 10-year, which we'll come to in a moment. Let's have a look at the spot prices now. Dollar rand was 14 in the 1460s, high 1460s this morning. It's retreated somewhat, the dollar, that is. It's currently 1458. British pound against the rand is 2004, and the euro rand is 1736. With the euro dollar, 119.10, the pound 137.45. In the commodities markets, gold down, yeah, $8.50 to 1735. The platinum price is down 28 in the last 24 hours to 1179. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
Up marginally, $10 higher, 2650.
Gosh, it really is a quiet day, isn't it? Let's have a look at the oil price, which has also been very quiet. But while that screen is rebooting itself, I'm going to have a look at the US 10-year yield, which is 168. It was 166 this morning. It's sort of consolidating. If I was a bond bear, I'd be very happy with the action in the last 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, it's shooting up to 175, 176, back down to 160, and now it's just sort of edging its way higher. Are you with me in that regard? Mm.
I do. It's behaving very well at the moment for the bears out there. But this week again, we talk about earnings season. It's also a key week, obviously, for inflation numbers out this week too. So it's also going to determine. We found that 10-year, I mean, it was 14-month high that we saw just a week or so ago, as you said.
Yeah, indeed. I've finally got my oil price screen up. West Texas, good move, actually. 1.6% higher at $60.30 per barrel. So it's changed its big number from 59 to 60. And the Brent crude oil price is $63.86 per barrel, which is up just about 1.5% or 91 cents per barrel. Bitcoin, of course. Please give me Bitcoin.
Bitcoin's been on a charge, and it is come off the boil a little bit. It's 59,950, so it's back under 60. It pushed through almost to 61 over the weekend, but still, nevertheless, up 2.8%.
Wasn't the high 63,500 or something about 4 weeks ago on a Sunday when somebody was very bored watching football and decided to trade Bitcoin instead? And so up it went. So we're not at all-time record highs, but very, very close.
Very close. Yeah, I mean, marginally, almost there. But I guess anything over 60, you know, the Bitcoin bulls salivate at the moment. So we're just sitting right on that number now.
You will tell me, of course, when one of your long-term clients who's never really heard of Bitcoin in the 40 years of his or her investing life is going to say, should we have a look at Bitcoin? You'll phone me when that happens, won't you? Because you know that's the end.
Well, I actually had an interesting email from one of my clients over the weekend. We'll remain nameless, but it's a good conversation. They are a charity which I look after, and it's quite close to my heart, actually.
Yes.
Anyway, they asked opinions on – they've been offered recently cryptocurrencies as deposits, like as a donation. So I was trying to scroll through sort of legislation in South Africa. You know, does it, you know, what is it classified as? How do you declare it? You know, is it, you know, is what sort of donation are they allowed? So anyway, so I mean, maybe that's another sign that this market's actually maturing when you actually have a charity phone up to ask how they accept donations for it. So, and legitimate donation as well from someone who's sitting with a lot of bitcoins wants to give some to the charity.
I see. So they wanted to just give them money, but in the form of a cryptocurrency. A volatile one.
Donate
as well.
To them. They've got excess. Mm. Yeah, they want to make a donation. And bearing in mind, there's no tax advantages as far as I could find in legislation. That was my weekend trying to scroll through legislation in South Africa with cryptocurrencies and charity donations. So there's no advantage other than the fact that someone just wants to be nice and give it to them.
Very good. I like these charitable people that have too much money. That's fantastic. Okay, let's have a look at my 15-minute delayed screen and have a look at the top five major moves on the upside. And you can correct me whenever you want to. Transaction Capital up 3.2%. Pick and Pay up 3.2% as well. Momentum Metropolitan 2.7% higher. 91 Limited up 2.3%. And Fortress A up 1.8%. On the downside, that perpetual upper or downer, Cartrack is 7.1% weaker. Lighthouse Capital down 4.5%. Harmony is a 4.2% loser. Hammerson is 4% down. And Goldfields down nearly 4% as well. Probably my numbers are a little bit out of date, but have you got anything else?
No, just the gold just never really got going today. They were down sort of the twos and two and a halves this morning, but they've stretched into the threes and almost the fours at some point. Anglo Gold Ashanti 3.8% down, Goldfield 3.9%, Harmony's 4.25% down as well. So, yeah, no real rhyme or reason for it either. Just seem to be grinding low.
Yes, it does. Give us the JSE closing indices on this first day of a full week on the local exchange.
All right, so a bit of a softer start to this full five-day week ahead of the US earnings season, where the JSE All Share down 1.19%, closing 800 points lower, 66,309. JSE Top 40 Companies Index as well, down a bit worse, 0.25%, closing out today, 60,672. Fini 15, they were up slightly, 0.17% higher. We had consumer non-cyclicals marginally higher, 2.3% up. But other than that, most indices are unfortunately in the red. We've got real estate down 0.5%, industrials down 0.8%, healthcare 1.05%. Energy shares with that oil price at 1 point that has turned positive, they closed down 1.52%. And finally, basic materials are 1.81% weaker.
Okay, and the value traded?
Fairly traded, 19.2 billion. So summing up the day, really, a bit of an uneventful Monday ahead of this busy, busy week.
Okay, live Dow Jones, S&P and NASDAQ, please, before we leave this.
So S&P is bouncing back off their lows, traded down the futures at 41.07. It's now 41.12. It's down 6 points on the day, or just 16 basis points. The NASDAQ is trading at 13,781, down 0.3%. And the Dow Jones is almost back to the unchanged level at 33,617.
Nick, thank you for that analysis. That's Nick Kunzer from Sandland Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.